Music, it's not just part of our daily lives, it's part of our wrestling fandom as well, and it has been for decades. That's where this show comes in. Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling, hosted by Andrew Rich. Hey, that's me. Each episode delivers a different topic with a variety of great guests, fun conversations, musical analysis, and of course, a heartfelt pun or two. New episodes drop every other Tuesday on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. Check out Music of the Mat only on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello and welcome back once again to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor and I am once again joined by my good friend and co-host Kelly. Kelly, illness can no longer keep us apart. We are back together to talk some Joshi.
This is like the most cursed episode we've ever done. Like, it's, we're finally making it happen. Almost didn't. Like, I get home from work. I'm like, damn, that was a whole lot of rain. Go in the basement. Ah, shit, I gotta shop back up a bunch of water. But you know what? I did it in time. We're here.
We've had quite an interesting, it's been nearly a month since we... or it has been a month since we recorded last. Famously, maybe not famously, but what is well known now, we last time we recorded back at the beginning of February, we recorded and mere hours later, less than I believe 5 hours later, maybe the biggest news in the last 3 years of Joshi dropped. Kelly and I did attempt to record audio.
It was not great.
It came out, in my opinion, so bad that it was not in any way worthwhile to release.
It was a preview of our Patreon that we are not launching.
You know, we recorded that Sunday night at a point when no one really knew what the hell was going on. And so it was largely 15 minutes of Kelly and I expressing how little we knew what was going on. We didn't really say, I did think about when we had to skip last episode. If you didn't see, I was under the weather. Kelly was under the weather. I ended up being sick for the entire week.
Yeah, I was out of it for a while. I had a crazy head cold. Like, there was points like I would just, you know, in the morning blow my nose and it would sound like a Geiger counter inside my head from all like the pockets of air moving around in my sinuses. It was fucked up.
I thought about releasing that little episode to tide people over, but I didn't think it was worthwhile at that point. there was a moment when I just read the update straight out of the Observer. Which I think sort of sealed it when I was like, eh, this is probably not valuable audio. But now we're back for episode 99. It is our 4 year. I'm calling it now. This is our 4 year anniversary month.
Wow.
That's right. We started back in March of 2024. What a time, or March of 2020. It's March 2024 now. And what a time to start a podcast.
a whole new time. World.
An ingenious time to start a podcast about the world of live entertainment in any aspect. But we made it. This is episode 99, and in 2 weeks we will have our 100th episode. I don't know. Will we do anything? Probably not.
We're going to get Rossi on as a guest.
Rossi is going to announce the name of his new promotion.
Yep.
On our 100th episode. I will just say, Rossi, if you want to do that, please, you can have the whole episode. We'll lay out and you can say whatever you want to the people.
Open microphone, Rossi.
So this is episode 99. We're going to dive into a lot of stuff. We're going to be talking some stuff from the weeks that we missed. We'll be talking some things going on. We'll, of course, be updating the Joshi Fantasy League standings, which have a month now of matches. So some big swings happening in the point standings and all of that good stuff. So let's dive right in. But before we do, of course, we have to get the plugs in. Follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tame Aimbow. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get into it. The first thing we're going to talk about is what we were going to talk about last episode, which is the Tokyo Joshi Max Heart Finals. We're going to run through our thoughts on that. We'll talk a little bit more about Stardom, but let's get into this Max Heart Final show from February 10th at Corican Hall in front of 674 fans. Kelly, dial your mind back to the early days of February and thought of this show.
I was still 31 then. Oh, I feel so much younger now.
You were young. Oh, so young.
Wow. I have so much of my life left ahead of me.
Not anymore.
I think... Oh, no. Oh, no. I thought this was a... It's one of those things where it's like... I felt it was a down Tokyo Joshi show, but it was still very easy to watch. So, like, I enjoyed it quite a bit, but I was like, yeah, it could have been better.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it had a number of matches that I really enjoyed. I think there's one match that... we can talk about, not that I thought it was terrible, but a match that I sort of thought, oh, if that match had been great, I think this would have been a really strong show. So I can see how you might think, oh, a little bit of a downer, but I really overall thought it was good.
Yeah, no, I don't want to say it was bad or anything. I was just like, I have a certain level I expect out of Tokyo Joshi Kurikans now, you know?
Sure. Well, let's dive into the show. The first match, a singles match. Haru Karzashima. Wow, I'm out of practice. You stop saying these names out loud and all of a sudden you can't say anything. Haru Karzashima defeated Shino Suzuki in a singles match in 7 minutes and 31 seconds. Thought this had some fun sequences for, you know, sort of their experience level and a sort of shocking result at the end.
Yeah.
I was certain that Shino would win.
Yeah, I was super happy for Haru. I thought this was a really good match. She fought really hard. It felt like a young lion match, you know? It's like, let's do more of this because you always see the rookies in tag matches in Tokyo Joshi. Let's do more of these singles. I really enjoyed this.
How much of Shino's loss comes down to the fact she has lost her Shino knee pads?
She don't know anymore. She clearly do not know.
So, well, the next match was a 6-person tag team match. Mihiro Kiryu, Yuki Kamifuku, and Nao Kakuta defeating Palm Harajuku, Raku, and Ram Kaichou in 11 minutes and 46 seconds. Kelly, what'd you think of this one?
This was fun. I was worried that there was a bit of like trouble in paradise between Raku and Ram, but just turned out that Raku didn't want her to eat all the chocolates, I'm pretty sure, which understandable. I think now works really well with Camus and Kiryu. So I think that could be a fun unit if that's the way they go, if free Wi-Fi is completely no more or not, you know? So that would be a good trio to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid match. I think these sort of get people on the card matches are always helped by adding someone like Ram. Mm-hmm. You can sort of add an interesting twist that isn't just like, oh, here's the people we need to get on here. Although this match also, in a way, served a purpose for later in the show, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But I thought it was solid, but still sort of in that vein of many of these sort of lower Tokyo Joshi six-person tags that happen on pretty much all of these Korakuen shows at this point.
With these, you pretty much just have to hope, hope it's fun.
The next match was another singles match between Kaya Torabami, victorious over Moka Miyamoto in 7 minutes and 31 seconds. A bizarre coincidence that both of these early single matches going the same exact time.
Oh, wow, and yeah.
I would say both surprising results.
Yes, for sure.
This was another solid match for me. The thing that stuck out was the result. Glad to see Kaya Torabami getting a win. Because I hope that they do more with her, because I think she's pretty solid. My only other note was, and review, Kaya Torabami's music starts like you're in the jazz club from La La Land. And I'm not entirely sure what I meant by that.
No. Could not tell you.
Is Kaya Torabami's music on? Is it online? Kaya Torabami.
Like, I don't remember it being especially jazzy or anything.
Kaya Torabami. Now, what is. Hold on. No. Okay. Unfortunately, Kaya Torabami's music is not on YouTube. You may be shocked to discover.
Sad.
Is it? I'm trying to find out if I was like, I don't know. The fact that I said La La Land.
Yeah, it's a very specific reference. It wasn't just like, it sounds like this. Like, you knew exactly what you meant in that moment.
Oh,
while you're looking at that, I will say the roster feels hungry right now. Like, they know that there are spaces opening up and everyone's kind of fighting for it, and I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities to move up, although we'll talk about someone making a quick return to Tokyo Joshi in a minute. Wow, I'm really trying to hunt this thing down. I found the name of the song is Spread Wings. Is it on Spotify? No. Why would it be on Spotify?
I don't know. I at this point, I don't think I could even tell you what genre her music is. Like, you could tell me it is just straight up jazz, and I'd be like, oh, okay, sure.
Oh, okay. Interestingly enough, there was music. It was on. It was on Spotify, and it looks like they took it down.
Cursed. This is the most cursed episode.
Terrible. It's by IIII 17, which.
Oh, of course.
Seems fake.
Yeah, we all know. We all knew that.
I'm going to find this.
I mean, you have to at this point.
This is terrible audio.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I've discovered the SoundCloud.
Okay.
Of III 17. Oh, baby. Here it is. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Come on. Give it. No. God bless it. There are tracks on this SoundCloud, but only a select Hyper Masao, a lot of the Up Up Girls. What if I typed in III 17 spread wings? Okay. Nope. Nothing. All right, the next match was I'm going to give myself a little bit more time, but I am going to introduce the next match, which was a tag team match, the team of Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima defeating Himawari and Wakana Uehara in 11 minutes and 34 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts on this match? Spread them out, make them long, as many thoughts as you have.
I will spread it much like the wings that you are searching for. Let's see. I'll just read my notes. The youngsters put up a very good fight against the veteran team. Everyone worked really hard here. I thought Wakana's selling was really good. I loved the spot where she tried to go for a handspring and her arm gave out. 3.5 stars. I liked that match. I don't remember a single thing about it, but I liked that match. The more that I'm thinking about it, the more I was like, yeah, Wakana did really good here selling and stuff. So I think this is a good match. Wakana's a fun Twitter follow. I like her. She seems really excited anytime like anyone mentions her. It's like, oh man, people enjoy what I do. So yeah, she's a fun follow.
Yeah, she is. I do know that she is a fun follow. I said the match, I thought it was a ton of fun and that I was pretty surprised that we got a fairly serious Hyper Masao. For this match, I was expecting a lot of comedy and there really wasn't much comedy. And I enjoyed it. And I will also say I have now opened the video of the show on my computer and I'm at the entrances for this, Kaya Toribami match. And I'm now going to play it and we'll do a live director's commentary on, okay, this brief minute of the show.
Okay.
For anyone who wants to watch along as I describe this or listen along, I'm starting at 57 minutes and 35 seconds. So here we go and play. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Is it sound jazzy?
No, yes. Yes. Okay. So what happens is it's an upright bass that's like boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden, after like 15 seconds, it's like, it's a different song after about 15 seconds. Because it's like doom, 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 doom. And then you have the little like hi-hat, like,
okay, yes, all right, I remember this now.
And then it's like, bah, 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 bah. Anyway, okay, I'm glad I solved that, quote unquote. Yeah,
man, Andrew's like gonna want to like take some nickels from us for this.
Doom, 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 doom.
We're doing his show.
Okay, great. What's happening? Where are we?
Mizuki match.
Mizuki. That's right. Mizuki defeated the visiting Zara Zucker in 8 minutes and 40 seconds. Kelly, what'd you think of this match?
It was fine. Yeah, I thought it was just mostly an extended squash. The only thing that really stuck in my brain was from Mizuki just barely being able to get her up for the suplex.
I actually liked this quite a lot. I thought it was pretty good. I guess I sort of went in with not low expectations, but sort of like, oh, this will be just whatever. Yeah. And it delivered more than I thought it would. I'd like to see more of Zara. I know that she's going to be on the Tokyo Joshi WrestleMania weekend show, the Tokyo Joshi proper show, not the versus GCW show. And so I thought she was good. I went 3.5 stars on this. I thought it was very enjoyable. You know, it was an extended squash, but Mizuki is at the sort of close to the top of the pecking order in the company. So makes sense to me. Young wrestler comes in and loses pretty definitively, but I thought looked good in the process.
Yeah. This just reminded me, for our 100th episode, we get to preview the GCW versus Tokyo Joshi show. What a celebration.
And boy, let me tell you, maybe a show that will convince us that 100 episodes is enough. but anyway, yeah, we'll have lots to preview on the next show. Although, is that true? We previewed it. Oh yeah, it is true because it will be. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think we record like the Sunday.
We record so like on WrestleMania Sunday. Yeah.
So we'll have seen all the Joshi stuff, which will be nice.
Yes. We will have seen it all.
We can just record through WrestleMania and pretend that the Fed isn't even there.
That'll be a great distraction. anyway, back to this show. The next match was a tag team match. The current tag team champions, Ryu Mizunami and Yuki Aino, winning a non-title match, beating Miyu Yamashita and Toga in 12 minutes and 35 seconds. New gear for Aino in this one. And sort of unsurprisingly, I thought the highlight of the match was the sequences between Mizunami and Yamashita, which were great. And I thought this was a lot of fun. Didn't love the finish because I don't love the sort of like reverse camel clutch finish, whatever that thing is. But before that, it was moving and shaking. I went 3.75 stars, so I really liked it.
That's exactly where I ended up too. I thought the Mizunami had a great showing in this match, especially with Miyu, of course, but I thought her stuff with Toga was really great too.
Yeah, sort of an obvious end to the match here, but you know, I mean, Mizunami continues to be like a brilliant addition.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone who like got added in, and like she's not even really, well, she isn't on the roster, but someone who's brought in like that, who you're like, this is perfect, amazing, who isn't someone who, I know she's a champion now, but just tag champion, like someone who doesn't come in and is like, now I'm the champion, like a huge addition like that. Mm-hmm. Just someone who comes in, fits really well, and is good like every time they wrestle.
Yeah, you don't. That is not a person you get very often.
Especially in, you know, Tokyo Joshi's a little bit bigger than, you know, an independent group. Mm-hmm. But even these independent groups, you know, they're like, oh, this person's going to appear for the first time. And it's like, oh, they do a match. And you're like, oh, that's fun. Okay. So this has been nothing but a win. Good job, Tokyo Joshi, on that one. The semi-main event was our only title match of the evening. Yuki Arai, the champion, defeating in her final match Juria Nagano in 11 minutes and 41 seconds. Kelly, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this match.
I thought this was a strong, like, last stand for Juria. Typically, you know, with a title match in the semi-main, you expect a little bit more. But I think with the level of experience for these two, I thought they did well. I ended up going 3.75 on it, so I was fairly happy with it. I do think Arai is getting better at making the axe kick look better. Like, it's she's starting to make it land a lot better. And overall, I thought they both did a good job.
That's very interesting. I was sort of two minds, not of two minds in this match, but I had two major thoughts, which was I thought this was one of Juria's best performances. So I was sort of
she was bummed great.
That she was leaving. I was like, oh, Juria's looking great. Now she's gone.
Yeah.
But my thing is, I don't know. People know who've listened to this before, as we've talked about Tokyo Joshi shows, I have not been super high on Yuki Arai, and it feels to me a bit, it's interesting you say, oh, the axe kick looked a bit better. It felt to me like she's plateauing a bit skill-wise. I just don't see the sort of match-to-match. I don't really see a ton of improvement.
No, it's not a sizable growth at all.
In the way that people who are good, you can sort of look back and look at some of their matches and say, oh yeah, I can tell sort of match over match, you know, it's looking different, it's feeling different, they're getting better. I just don't really see it with Arai, and I'm wondering if this is sort of the level where she is and will be. And if that's the case, I'm not entirely sure how invested I really am in that, in terms of, you know, at the end of the day, I understand, you know, we go back to the sort of base of Tokyo Joshi, which is not in ring as end all be all. But when you have other people, you know, you have this tag match before, you have this tag match after, which we're going to talk about, which are filled with people who sort of satisfy both, you know, the character aspect of this and the in-ring stuff, I look at this and say, well, I wish there was a better wrestler here.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. I guess I'll throw in here that Yuki Kamifuku came out after to challenge for the International Princess title at Grand Princess coming up at the end of March. You know, interested to see that. Because, you know, the International Princess, it feels like what Arai needs now is to be working with people who are really good, who can sort of lift her skill. And I think, you know, Yuki Kamifuku is good, but not at the level of like, I'm going to come into this match and I'm going to make sure we have a great match in the way that, you know, a Miyu Yamashita would, or Miyu Watanabe or someone like that, who could come in and, you know, not that I want those two challenging for this title, but I don't know. Yeah, she just feels still very green and inexperienced to me. And I think they've pushed her sort of because it's like, oh, she's in SKE 48, et cetera, et cetera. And it just doesn't feel like it's there in terms of the in-ring stuff for me, and I'm not sure. I'm now maybe thinking, oh, maybe this is all there is to it.
I mean, she's got to step it up. DDT's got that idol boy honk, and he's pretty goddamn good. So you can't coast along being famous.
And there is a former AKB48 member coming in at Sumo Hall. Which we'll talk about in a second, but that's another thing where it's like, well, we'll see. You know, I don't know the gauge of how famous these people are sort of holistically. But we'll see. I mean, it certainly seems to me that, you know, it's like Yuki Arai, she's in SKE48. We're really going to push her. We're going to put the title on her. She's here. She's in the semi-main event defending her title, which she recently won, and the show only draws 674 fans. So it isn't like people are pouring into the building to see her.
I've never gotten the impression that she's like a particularly big name in the idol scene or anything. Because again, back to that, the hunk that DDT got in that I just mentioned, they sold that bitch out. 1,600 people in Kurikin for that dude's debut. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe one of these matches she really pulls it out and I'm like, whoa, there it is. But not seeing it as things stand.
I think it's just going to be a case of too much too fast. And she plateaued because she's like, well, it's not really her fault. You get a point of, well, do I need to improve anymore? I'm doing very well at this point. So I guess I'm as good as I'm going to get.
Yeah, that is true. Where it's like, well, I'm winning titles and I'm this way. So great. That's the way I should continue to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to the main event. The main event was the Max Hart Tournament final match, where the Daisy Monkey duo of Arisu Endo and Suzume defeated Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi in 19 minutes and 37 seconds. Kelly, I'll let you go first.
This rocked. Really, really good main event. I loved how Daisy Monkey fought from behind for like the entire match and just survived through everything that that Hakuchimu was thrown at him. And then eventually Suzume just kind of caught Rika with a ring a bell out of nowhere and pinned her. So like, it was just, they kind of bided their time and took their lumps and then won the match. I thought that was really good. And of course, you always have to note whenever Miyu Watanabe does the double giant swing and how fucking awesome it is every time. So yeah, I liked this a lot. I went 4.25 on it.
My first very quick note is that the jury is probably out on Suzume and Arisu Endo as singles wrestlers. I think they're good. It's a question of will they get to the singles level of Yamashita or Nakajima or that sort of level. I don't know, but they are a great tag team.
Yes.
They're an excellent tag team. They're very good right now. The other big thing that stuck out to me was, you know, there's all this debate about, maybe not debate, but stuff about, oh, you know, Miyu's challenging for the title. She's not going to win. You know, this is sort of what Tokyo Joshi does. They're very slow on sort of pulling the trigger on these people. So it's likely Miyu's not going to win and is going to have X, Y, and Z before she gets to that level. To me, Miyu Watanabe is one of the best wrestlers in the world. So putting all that aside, she should win the title because she is that good. Like, she's a great wrestler. The crowd obviously loves her. Like, there's no reason she shouldn't win. And look, she may go into that match and there's a very good chance she may lose. But to me, if I'm sitting there, I'm going, this person is going to go out and have great matches. You know, she's doing these double swings. People are like, oh, amazing. Like, she's a great wrestler. And I feel that sometimes really the only person in Tokyo Joshi who has ever broken out of the idea of like, this person is a really good Tokyo Joshi wrestler, is Miyu Yamashita, who people are like, she's a great wrestler. She's like the one person, even though, you know, Mizuki is very good. Yuka was very good. These people are all very good. But in terms of sort of the public at large, Miyu Yamashita is the only one who's ever been someone who people are like, oh, that's a great wrestler, even though she's in Tokyo Joshi. I think Miyu is at that level to be that good. I think there's the sort of conception of, you know, she comes out, she has this song where she's spelling out love and she's in all pink. And I think people are going to see that and be like, oh, it's this, you know, it's this girly Joshi wrestler. Oh, what is she about? But then she gets in the ring and she's like beating the shit out of people. And she's throwing them around. She's doing, I think, the best giant swing in all of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just really good. And so I would hope she would win the title because she's in the conversation for the best wrestler in the company, in my mind. and that person should have the title.
Yeah, no, totally agree. She should win that match. They need to stop slow rolling things and just take a chance and let them go. Because, yeah, and like I was even thinking about this with the giant swing. She's one of the few people that kind of breaks out of the Joshi bubble in terms of just internet interest when she does a cool spot like that. Like, you see that get shared around a bunch just because, like, holy shit, she's swinging two people at once.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. At the end of the day, I wrote that this was just four really good wrestlers working a very good match. I went 4.5 stars. I thought it was great. Another Max Hart tournament final that I thought delivered and is going to be in, you know, some conversation, maybe not at the top level, but for match of the year as the last one was. So a great end to the show. And I think, you know, Kelly, it's interesting because at the beginning you were like, well, it wasn't a, you know, top level Corican show, but you liked the semi-main a lot more than I did. And we were pretty lined up on the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is a great show.
It was a good show.
So, Kelly, change your opinion right now.
Okay, fine. I really liked it. It was the best show I've ever seen.
And on that note, we will move on. I have convinced Kelly. What else has been going on? Well, lots has been going on in Stardom. Kelly, how much do you want to talk about?
Let's just freestyle it. We'll talk. Like, all right. So, who do you think is Rossi? Who do you think he's taking? Who's going with him?
Oh, I don't know at this point. Well, it's also helped by the fact that Stardom has announced people for the WrestleMania weekend show.
Yes, we can safely assume all of them are sticking around
for at least a while, because, you know, Mayu, the whole thing, when all the news came out, the thing was she wants to leave, but she's been signed by the company through the release of this movie that's coming out soon, which I hope we'll be able to review on this program.
Yes.
But we'll see. You know, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. You know, I haven't really sat down and looked at the roster and been like, okay, I think this person's going here. I think this person's going here. We are sort of in a quiet period where everyone's waiting for, like, I feel like the middle of the month or the end of the month, it's going to be like, here's chaos. And like, here's 10 people who are leaving and they're going here. Like, we got all the news about Rossi, you know, was fired. What is he doing? Oh, he's working with WWE. Oh, he's not working with WWE. Oh, he's forming his own company. But since that, we haven't really heard anything.
Yeah. Everyone's been pretty quiet. I mean, we have to assume that Julia's probably going with him in some degree.
Yeah, but I don't even, you know, I don't even know. Maybe. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, he's forming another company. It's like, what's the company called? When do the show start? What, you know? And the current answer right now is like, we don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's going to be another company. It's going to have some number of people and it's going to run some shows at some point in time.
Mm-hmm. And like he can't run anything until, what is it, October? That's when his non-compete is up or something like that.
Something.
So
to
like
that effect. Yeah.
Is the expectation that these people are going to leave when their contracts are up in March and then do fucking whatever until Rossi Dumb starts up?
I mean, I have no idea. And the weird thing is now it looks like Stardom wrestlers are now booking themselves more in the United States. So you would think, oh, if they go to Rossi, they could work the United States for 6 months or whatever. But that was, you know, I think I read that Rossi was very against that.
Yeah,
So you think he would not be like, hey, go do that. I don't know. Maybe he sends them all to Seedling or something and they hang out in Seedling for 6 months.
I mean, this goes back to what I said kind of as a joke months ago, but maybe there is a little glimmer of truth in that. Remember when Utami worked that random Ring of Honor match?
Yes.
Is that, I said back then, that was only because Rossi remembers working with Ring of Honor in the past and didn't know that it was associated with AEW. And I think that might actually be true now. Because, like, why else would he have allowed that when, and but not main AEW at this point, where it's just like he never lets anyone else work in the States for the most part, but it was like, ah, Ring of Honor, my old friend. Yes, Delirious. All right, let's do this. Maybe Tony called him up and did the Delirious voice. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw a lot when the news came out. People were like, whoa, the end of the Joshi scene. Like, what's happening? This is horrible. I'm like, I don't think it's horrible.
No. I think it'll only lead to a better Joshi. It's another place for people to work.
I think at the very, you know, look, not to, I don't know, maybe this will come across as harsh to some people. But frankly, it's not my money.
Yeah.
And if they want to form, you know, if there is going to be 10 billion Joshi companies, if they put on good action and it costs them millions of dollars to do it, I don't really care. It's not my money. You know, it's the same thing with movies. It's like some movies I see, I'm like, who greenlit this? I love this movie. Who approved it? It will never make any money. But I'm, you know, I'm like, I don't care. It's not my money. I'll spend money to see it.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's good, I'll watch it. And if there's 10,000 now, maybe having all the talent spread out, that then won't help. But, you know, I think some people thought, oh, 25 people are going to leave from Stardom and Stardom's going to be this destroyed husk of a promotion. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, and I think there is more than enough talent in Stardom that they can lose people, and I don't think it'll hurt them much. I mean, we'll talk about it when we kind of run through the shows here, but this the Kurikan show on the 17th, the Stars, the Hanan and Saeeda versus Chan Yoda and Mai Sakurai match fucking ruled. I loved that match. And this is like, okay, none of these people are really pushed in this company, but they might have a shot now if the top of the card's closing out or emptying out. Like, there's, I think you're going to see more stuff like this where it's like, okay, there's room for people to grow. Like, you're going to see if Saeeda goes with Rossi, she may be the dumbest woman to ever live. Like, there's a bunch of people in the company where I'm like, if you go with Rossi and you just decide I'm going to be low mid card for the rest of my career, cool, fine, I guess, whatever. But what a dumb decision. Like, stick with Stardom, give it a shot. Because, man, I think they're going to give you an opportunity you'd never had before.
Yeah, so we'll, you know, I'm at the point where I'm just sort of in wait and see mode, because and also you never know with these things. I mean, some things in the world of Joshi have been, they sort of get announced and you're like, oh my God, like what was the, oh gosh, I can't remember the joint shows that they did like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? Why can I not remember the name?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and it sure was a non-factor.
And I remember it was announced, and it was like, whoa, this is going to be huge. Like, all these promotions working together, and Stardom's going to be there. Oh, my God, it's going to be amazing. And after, like, three shows, no one cared about it.
Yeah.
It was like a big, fat nothing. Mm-hmm. And then ended. You know, these things sometimes happen and you're like, this is going to be life-changing. I don't know. Maybe we get to a month and two people leave Stardom.
Yeah.
To go to Rossi's promotion. Then all of a sudden Rossi's promotion doesn't do shit. And it's like, whoops. He, you know, and he gets some stupid job with WWE or something so he can get in their Hall of Fame. And, you know, maybe that's the end of the story, is like, well, he thought he could. I mean, supposedly he's got millions of dollars from selling Stardom to Bushiroad. But, you know, having millions of dollars and then spending millions of dollars and losing millions of dollars are all very different ideas. You know, you're like, oh, I've got $4 million. It'll be fine. And then 6 months in, you've lost three of the $4 million. Maybe you think, oh, I prefer not to end this with $0.
I would like to not have $0 million.
But it also isn't a thing like, you know, it isn't a thing like on the men's side where New Japan has been around for, you know, 50 something years and All Japan has been around for X amount of years. I mean, none of these promotions are that old in the span of time. I mean, you're talking about, in American wrestling terms, you're talking about, frankly, a bunch of like TNAs. In terms of how long they've been around, which you think about it, I mean, maybe some people think, wow, TNA's been around for a while, and maybe because of the choices they make, it feels like they've been around longer than, you know, just the time. But, you know, we're not talking about historic promotions in any way. You know, if Rossi stole every single person from Stardom and started some company called Jumping Around Girls or something. Yeah, that's a terrible name for a promotion. but I mean, it would be like Stardom of 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, even if it doesn't do that well, they'd be running Shinkiba First Ring and they'd be running Shinjuku Face and, you know, doing, costume switch battle royals, and it would be like Stardom of 4 years ago. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, I don't think this is going to be a thing where the Rossi starts his own promotion and then he fails, Stardom fails, Tokyo Joshi fails, and then there's nothing.
Yeah, that's not how this is going to go.
Something will survive. So I think it's fine. Watch it play out. I think it's very interesting to see who will stay and who will not stay.
I'm very curious to see what happens to Stardom in like the back end. Cause like what happens to Stardom World? Is that going to keep going? Because Sonny is a Rossi guy. Is he going to stick around with the company or is he going to go do whatever Rossi's doing? Will Bushiroad just kind of fold Stardom World into New Japan World at that point? Are they going to make poor Chris Charlton do everything? Or will they just say, we barely put in the effort now, shut it down, we'll just do pay-per-views or something? It's like, that's kind of my concern going forward, is what this means for the English language production of the company.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I do have to say for Chris that he is, you know, he is a front-facing employee, but he does seem to be the only person outside of the immediate sphere of Stardom that gives any amount of shit about the company.
Yeah.
Like, he tweets about it. He's, sending these tweets out about, this match or this show is coming up or this match just happened. Check it out. I don't know if he's being told by someone, hey, tweet about this. It doesn't strike me as that because no one else is doing it. He does a lot. I don't know. You know, he may just be doing it because he watches it and he's like, hey, this is great and it will help because it's the same company and so I can do it. I don't know what's going to happen. It seems like they're not interested in any of that to any degree. I mean, I'm sort of shocked they're doing a WrestleMania weekend show.
Yeah.
And it isn't like Rossi left and then all of a sudden the week after they had four Stardom wrestlers on AEW television. No one's appeared. There's been no hint of anyone appearing. Not that it's going to happen the day after, but.
Oh, we didn't talk about one of the leading newsbreakers in this story was Tony Khan and his meme tweets.
We did briefly attempt to get him on the bonus audio we recorded.
Yes.
He wasn't really a newsbreaker because everything he was tweeting seems to have turned out to mostly be not true. Like, he was like, oh, we've got a mole. I'm like, what?
Someone was definitely telling him things. He was just like, oh, let's go, tweeting about it. And it's like, oh, man, whoever was feeding you this was all wrong. And then it just got everyone really upset at Tony Khan for whatever reason.
But, you know, on the AEW side, also, I have to say, again, I don't really love talking about AEW on here because this is not an AEW podcast, but anyone dreaming of any stardom wrestler going to AEW at this moment in time needs to have their brain checked, because to do what?
You don't want to see Utami versus Sky Blue?
You know, to wrestle Sky Blue or to go and, you know, wrestle some 2-minute match on, you know, Rampage that no one will watch and no one will care about and everyone
Mayu Iwatani versus Madison Rain.
Who is this person? I mean, you know, everyone's raving about the great pay-per-view last night of AEW. The two women's matches were the worst matches on the entire show by a long shot. And frankly, have never, you know, I was thinking back about this. Really, the ceiling for women's matches in AEW on those pay-per-views is like 4 stars. It's like, yeah. Oh, this was a fun little match. Like, name me a AEW women's pay-per-view match that was like, what a spectacular match that was.
I think the only one that sticks out to me was Riho versus Emi Sakura.
I mean, all the best matches have been random television matches that are all hardcore, you know,
yeah.
Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa and the tags or what have you. But I'm like, who wants anyone from Stardom to show up there to do what? They're not going to, you know, be in the title picture and lose to Toni Storm while she, you know, talks about, you know,
butthole,
shoving bread up her ass or whatever.
Wendy Richter.
So, I have a lot of thoughts about that, but anyway, not an AEW show.
No. But, what are your thoughts on the more and more, and this is not just for Stardom, this is for New Japan as well, Bushiroad just continually making the most unforced errors all the time. The big one that really kind of came out through all this, which I don't even really know how related to any of it is, but suddenly people were just talking and it's like, all right, now random stories are coming out. The Julia versus Mayu Yukihi match, where neither of them wanted to lose, but Bushiroad was like, no, we got to do this. Like, you guys don't have to. And it looks like that match immediately led to them having Julia drop the belt because they didn't like how she kind of behaved in that. And I'm sure that's a big part of why she wants out. So it's like, you guys kind of cost yourselves one of your biggest stars.
Well, I think at the time we sort of figured that something was going on because they had that wonky finish. I mean, the match was still really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. With some of that stuff, you know, you can't just be like, oh, okay, wrestlers you know best, because then they'll just run all over you, and then it turns into CM Punk, you know, beating the shit out of people backstage, and you're like, oh, whoops, what are we going to do with this guy?
But at the same time, it's not like people were clamoring for this match. You know, it was a good match. I loved it. But, like, that was for weirdos like you and me. The general Stardom fan, I don't think gave a shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just, if the two wrestlers came to you and were like, well, neither of us want to win, and you're like, okay, we're going to do a double count out, or, you know, we're going to do a DQ or what. I mean, that's, to me, I'm sort of like, okay, you know, at the end of the day, it produced a great match.
Yeah.
Would it have been better with a finish? Maybe. But I think partially that's sort of fun. And I think some of it is, you know, I don't mind as much as I've railed against time limit draws on this program for 99 episodes. You know, having finishes that aren't, I don't need every match I ever see to end in a pinfall or submission. They can end in DQ. Now, I don't want a match where you're like, this is going to end the feud and it's going to top everything to end in a count out or something. But doing it once in a while, I think, is interesting. It makes you, you know, be on your toes. You don't know, okay, I'm just sitting here waiting for someone to get a pinfall or get a submission. Oh, they're out of the ring. Okay, I know they're going to come back in the ring because they always come back in the ring. So, yeah. You know, I don't know.
I don't think the issue is the finish. It's more of you had two wrestlers who were both like, look, A, I don't feel safe wrestling this person because I think they're going to shoot on me. B, I'm not losing to him. I don't see why you go forward with that match.
I mean, I guess if they're saying to each other, well, this person is going to hurt me or I'm planning on hurting the other person, then you would say no. But,
yeah,
you know. And again, they got through the whole match. They, to my knowledge, didn't do any of that.
Yeah, so, no, it all went well. But it's just, to me, it's... And again, then if you... Because, like, the word was because of how Julia handled that, they were like, all right, cool, you're dropping the belt. And then I would assume, as a direct result, Julia was like, all right, sweet, I'm out.
I mean, there's many things... Again, it's one of those things where it comes down to, you know, you have to make decisions sometimes. Sometimes they don't work out. People will leave. I mean, New Japan's losing Okada.
And because of another giant unforced error where they're like, hey, what if we sign Mercedes and pay her more than everyone else for a little to no return on investment?
But if you just did something being like, okay, if one person gets up, you know, if anyone gets upset up here, we can't do it. Then you're just going to be sitting around going, you know, and I think the Mercedes stuff didn't really work out. But at the time, it seemed like, oh, she's, you know, this hot commodity. She still sort of is. She got injured and all this, whatever, whatever. But, you know, you could go to that and say there's some future where she doesn't get injured and she has four incredible matches and the numbers go through the roof and interest is going up and up. And then you look back or Okada leaves or whatever. And you say, well, it was worth it. You know, you don't know until you try.
Yeah. I still think we'll
pay you less. And then, you know, she says, well, no, I'm not coming in. And then you're sitting there going, well, what were you doing? Why didn't you just pay her money? You have the money.
Yeah. I still think for Mercedes that New Japan was never in a place where they could fully capitalize on her just because they're not really good at marketing their women to the United States. Like, I don't think you were going to get the Sasha Banks fans watching New Japan because of that, because you had hit the stopgap of, all right, well, you need to sign up for this website that's mostly in Japanese, but I think you can translate it. And also, if she works Stardom, you're going to have to get some fun bucks and spend it on Pia.jp or whatever the fuck. Like, I just don't think it was ever set up for success.
Yeah, I mean, I just think at the sort of the 50,000 foot view, I mean, every show is a series of decisions and some of them, you know, work very well and some of them don't work at all, and most of them probably fall somewhere in the middle where they just sort of are things that happen and you never know. You know, it happened, you know, AEW, it's like, oh, CM Punk was doing this, and you know, it starts out and you're sort of like, okay, he's mad about this, but now he's injured and he'll come back, and then it turns out he's mad about this and he's doing this and you're thinking, oh, now we have to fire him. And it's
now
like, oh my God,
someone at Wembley Stadium.
And you think back and you're like, well, AEW, why didn't you do this at this point? And it's like, well, we didn't know. You know, you can't really know everything, unfortunately. You know, many people wish they would, but I don't know. I think if you get to the point, people are going to want to leave, join, leave, go somewhere else for any thousands of reasons. You know, I'm not being pushed enough. Oh, I just lost the title. Oh, I want to do this and I'm not doing it. That I think if you get to in your head of like, okay, what is this person going to do? Then you just get stuck doing nothing. Like, it's like pushing someone. If you push someone, you know, we've often talked about it, to go back to the Tokyo Joshi booking. You don't know until you try. And it's very possible if you try, you will fail. It will do very badly. You know, they could, Miyu Watanabe could win the title and the fans could say, oh, we don't care about her having the title. And the crowds disappear and they're pulling 200 people at Corican Hall. And you say, well, that was a big mistake. Why the hell did they do that? But she could win the title and everyone could go, oh, she's amazing. Oh my God. And they could gain fans. You know, you hope it's one instead of the other, but you don't really know. It's very hard. You're sort of just going in a direction and hoping that direction is correct.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, to sort of sum this up, I think a lot of it, I think we're in wait and see mode for all of it right now, for what Stardom is going to be and what this new thing will be and the effect it will have on everyone else.
Maybe they'll bring back Stardom and Showcase.
Kelly, keep wishing.
Well, apparently that was those dudes' thing.
Yeah.
And we, that's okay. That's
Kelly wants to
things.
See more, what were they called? Wet t-shirt matches.
Yeah, that's okay. That number one thing right there is goes to the point I was about to make. Where that is the stuff where people where they were saying like, oh, Rossi hated all this. The fuck he did. That was all just like Rossi special right there. You cannot tell me that Rossi was not the one that was booking the Wet and Wild matches or whatever the fuck they were. Like, come on. Or were they doing it as a rib to be like, ha, Rossi, look at this shit you would have booked.
Yeah, I
get
don't know.
In the casket, Rossi.
I mean, I think it will be interesting in that, especially, you know, Rossi has been on the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame ballot the last 2 years. He's gotten some votes. I have not voted for him. I don't think he's anywhere close to deserving to get into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. But there may be a moment of like, oh, this is very exciting. And I am excited, as I said, and interested to see what happens. But Rossi has his own big flaws when it comes to booking.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Rossi is at best a competent booker. At
Rossi
best.
Was the man who made us spend many years watching Jungle Kiona fucking get killed every, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff. So it's not like it's going to go and be like, oh, thank God. And it's not like, you know, Kelly, you and I have well documented, issues with some of Stardom's booking, and it's not like Rossi leaving is going to fix them, the issues we have, but it's not also like, you know, they're not going to be 100% amazing now, but they're not going to be 0% or 100% awful.
And like, you know, I'm not expecting to tune into the first Rossi-dom show and have it be like, oh my God, it's 2006 Gabe Sapolsky back from the dead.
So, but we shall see, and when things happen, you'll hear about it here on Jumping Bomb Audio.
Except hopefully, for when we're cursed and missed episodes.
Yeah, hopefully in a more timely fashion than we pulled off here.
We were. Anyway, I almost got cursed again. At one point while you were talking, I had to mute because I was choking on my own spit.
Well, there you go. I'm happy then I was doing one of my lengthy monologues at the time.
Yeah, no, it was perfect timing.
Stardom, what else has happened? They had two Corican Hall shows, as Kelly already sort of mentioned, I think highlighted by the New Blood tag title match between Hanan Saeeda, Chen Yoda, and Mai Sakurai. Unbelievable match.
Fantastic match.
I went 4.5 stars. I mean, especially Saeeda and Chen Yoda. I've always liked Saeeda, so I was sort of like, yay, my point's being proven. They just went out and like beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, it was so good. And like I was saying before, this is why Saya should stick around. Like, if she could be a top person. Let her go. Just let her do it. Stop making her just the bottom of the card person.
I think her size will probably always hold her back because she's tiny in a promotion where everyone already is fairly small.
Yeah.
But I've always liked her. I've always thought she's really good, really fun. And I thought this was sort of the height year. And also Chan Yoda, who I had sort of been like, oh, she's sort of fun to watch, but, you know, it sort of is whatever. I was like, whoa, where did this come from?
She's got something. You don't always see it, but this was one of those matches where it was like, okay, yeah, no, there is something here. There is something in her that they need to cultivate.
Also on that show, Julia retained her strong title over Natsuka Tora on that second of two Korakuen Hall shows. Also on the 25th of February, Rina defeated Miyu Amasaki to retain the Future of Stardom title. Happening elsewhere, in Seedling, Makoto and Nagisa Nosaki defeated Ka Kedita and La Pedita in the B Block Tag Tournament Finals. So the A Block and B Block winner will meet at the upcoming Korakuen Hall show to determine the new tag champions. In Oz Academy, Mayumi Ozaki defeated Sonoko Kato to become the number one contender for the Oz Open Weight title. Tokyo Joshi had a show yesterday at this point as we're recording. Two debuts, Uta Takami, who is the newest member of the Up Up Girls, and Kira Summer, the first foreign rookie to debut for Tokyo Joshi. Haven't gotten a chance to watch that show yet, but looking forward to it to see even more young talent in Tokyo Joshi. Speaking of young talent, Runa Okuba returned to say that she has passed her high school exams.
Hell yeah.
I'm not that familiar with Japanese exam procedure.
Hard as fuck.
She's passed them and will be returning to Tokyo Joshi on March 16th. Also returning to Tokyo Joshi, quote-unquote AEW superstar, Yuka Sakazaki.
Amazing.
Will be returning to Tokyo Joshi for Grand Princess, having wrestled an incredible zero matches.
None matches.
For AEW and Ring of Honor since she left. What's going on with that?
There was a point where I was really worried, like, what if she just retired? I was really concerned where it was just like, shit, what if the graduation ceremony was just like, oh no, I'm just done now, bye.
So we will see. There was some scuttlebutt on the show. Mizuki was happy to see her magical sugar rabbit partner returning, but it was said that Yuka's match has not been announced yet. So it may not be a reunion of the Magical Sugar Rabbits. We will have to wait and see. Also announced, as I mentioned a little early in the show, former AKB48 member Ami Yamoto will debut at the Sumo Hall show. Ami Yamoto is, I believe, joined AKB48 back in 2013, which is after my period of AKB knowledge ends. So will be interesting to see. I don't know. Does she have any fans? I have no clue. I don't understand. Another thing about Japanese culture I don't understand. Once these idols leave, what do they do? It seems like a lot of them like sell belts. Not in that way, not like in a stand, but like on Instagram. I'm a belt salesman.
I used to sing. Now I'm a haberdasher.
You're a haberdasher. Go work for Come to America. There's a great Joshi promotion for you. So that is Tokyo Joshi. Sendai Girls, I guess I should kick off before I make the same joke three times, that it was announced Wrestle Universe will be increasing its price from, I believe, 999 yen a month to 1,298 yen a month. As part
of that, like $3 to $4 for us.
Yeah, pretty much. As part of that, they are going to be streaming more Noah shows. They didn't really mention anything about Tokyo Joshi shows, but they did mention they will be bringing in other non-Cyber Fight promotions. Michinoku Pro, Real 01, which I believe is the split off from 01, and Sendai Girls.
Hell yeah.
There was much rejoicing, but I'm, I don't know, something to say that there is currently, I believe the switch is happening at the end of this month to the new price. So I wouldn't be surprised if nothing really starts happening till then. But there is nothing Sendai Girls currently on Wrestle Universe. There is nothing currently listed on the schedule. The streaming schedule is streaming from Sendai Girls, so who knows? So maybe I'll get the jokes in because it may be my last chance. Sendai Girls on February 11th, Team 200 Kilogram, Chihiro Hashimoto and Yu retain their tag titles against Mio, Momono, and Yurika Oka. On the 12th, that same Team 200 Kilogram retain their tag titles again against Gigi Ray and Promise Braxton. Also on that show, Dash Chizako and Mika Iwata met in a hardcore match in the main event. A match that sounds pretty good, and the way Sendai Girls goes, you'll be able to see it in 6 to 8 months.
Oh, hell yeah. I can't wait until October.
There it is. But who knows? Maybe on Wrestle Universe, you'll be able to see it in 2 to 4 months.
Hey.
And then on February 20th, Team 200 Kilogram lost the tag team titles to Dash Chizako and Hiroyo Matsumoto. So new tag champions in Sendai Girls. Ice Ribbon, not a lot to say, but I will say, I think I said this a couple episodes ago, you know, not a lot to talk about here, but I do have to recommend the Ice Ribbon YouTube membership. You know, they upload all their dojo shows. These are not major shows, but they're very good. They usually run about 45 minutes to an hour. They're very easy to watch. I often, you know, I think sometimes with wrestling, you sit down and you think, okay, I have to block off like at least 2.5 hours of life.
Yeah.
To watch this. You know, I want to watch the whole show. Okay, I'm going to sit here. It's going to be 2.5 hours. Having these like three match, 45 minute, the matches are fun. You know, most of them are nothing to write home about. They're not going to be 5-star classics, but they're fun. Ice Ribbon has a lot of, I think, really interesting wrestlers. We've talked about how they're sort of in this spot where they've lost a lot of their top level people, but I think they have a lot of interesting sort of mid-card people hanging around that are fun to watch. And so I really have a great time. I think I'm one or two uploads behind, but I always have a great time watching the shows. Easy watches, 45 minutes. You watch it, you're done. So recommend. And I think it's something like $5 a month on YouTube. So, you know, pretty cheap and you get a good amount of content. So that's my recommendation. Diana had two shows. Haruka Umasaki retained the Diana title against Ayame Sasamura, and Kyoko Inoue defeated Himiko and Jaguar Yokota to retain the Queen Elizabeth title. Keep that result in your head for a few seconds. Marvelous Sadie Gibbs, former controversial wrestler in Japan, has returned as part of Marvelous, and she is part of the, they are having a AAAW tag league where the winner will face Magenta for the titles at their upcoming May 3rd Korakuen. So they are going through that now. And I said, keep that Queen Elizabeth result in your mind, because on the 1st of March in Wave, Sakura Hirota defeated Kyoko Inoue and Yuki Miyazaki to win the Queen Elizabeth title. So a quick defense, a lot of defenses, and then losing the titles in the past few weeks. But I will throw it over to Kelly for some other Joshi updates.
I watched some Actress Girls on YouTube. From the February 25th show, there was an Actress Girls title match. Married successfully defended the title against Misa Matsui. And this match fucking rocked. These two really just brought the intensity in this match. They beat the hell out of each other. It felt like they were throwing everything they had and just laid their shit in. It felt like a super important match with how hard they were fighting. Matsui really just gave everything she had, but just didn't have enough to beat Mary. And I loved this match. I went 4.25. Highly recommended. Like I said, they put it up on their YouTube for free, so no excuse to not watch it.
I will say Actress Girls is probably the company that we haven't really covered on here that I would like to get into. So I'm glad that Kelly watched that match so we could bring some of that coverage.
That was one where I meant to watch Actress Girls more. And then I don't know if I accidentally did it or if it was a glitch or something, but it was through this match. I saw someone mention it on Twitter and I was like, damn, why didn't that pop up in my YouTube feed? And then I looked and I'm like, shit, I'm not subscribed to Actress Girls anymore. When did that happen? So I don't even know how long I haven't been paying attention to them because of that. So thanks, YouTube. Don't unsubscribe me again, please.
All right. Before we get into the upcoming shows, of course, we have to talk about the Joshi Fantasy League updates. We got a whole month of updates. And I will say, bringing up the rear once again for the third consecutive week, although making a big leap in points, is Liam. Now with 90,
eat shit, Liam.
Now with 94 points. A lot of points, and also very surprising considering he has Sari and Aoi, who combined only have 13 points. So they are certainly letting Liam down, but currently his workhorse, Unagi Sayaka, with 35 points. Suzu Suzuki had a good last few weeks, up to 27 points. So Liam at 94 and Kelly, you may be looking ahead, trying to catch, but you may want to start looking behind because Kelly only 6 points now.
I will never eat shit.
Ahead of Liam at 100 points. Kelly has picked a lot of people who have gotten points but has not gotten the title wins that Liam and I have gotten. So Kelly at 100 points, highlighted by Rina Yamashita with 25 points already at the end of February, up to 4 singles victories for her.
I'm fully expecting Rina to score me like 50 points over Mania weekend.
Utami at 23, Takumi Aroha at 20, Veni at 17, and Miyu Yamashita down at 15, but pretty even scoring for
Veni
Kelly.
Veni will not be helping me at Mania weekend.
However, they are both still looking up at the current running champion. That would be me with 129 points, highlighted by the absolute monster that is you, the overall number one point getter with 45 points at the end of February. You has had 4 singles victories, 7 tag team victories, 3 multi-person match victories, and a singles title win. She is the EVE champion, recently successfully defending that title. And just in these past 2 weeks, as I mentioned, 2 successful defenses of the Sendai Girls Tag Championship. They lost it, so won't have it anymore, but helping me out. But not far behind, Miyuki Takase, 34 points. Also, Saya Kamatani, 21. Ibuki Hoshi, not doing as well as I thought. Ibuki Hoshi, only at 20, but really lagging behind. And really stuck out to me how much this person loses. Miyu Watanabe all the way down at 9 points.
That's wild.
unbelievable, has only won 4 tag team matches and 1 multi-person match. This year loses a lot of matches, I've discovered. But I'm banking and crossing my fingers on her winning Tokyo Joshi Gold and getting me.
Well, you know, looking at mine, Miyu is my lowest scorer too with 15.
Yeah, I think what happens is they end up teaming with, like, they do these random matches where it will be like, for example, on that Korakuen show, like Miyu Yamashita and Toga.
Yep.
Where Toga loses, and then if you lose the match, you don't get any points, even though, you know, you're not taking the pinfall. In that scenario. But yeah, sort of shocked. The big cat, a 36-point chasm between you and me, Watanabe.
That's wild.
So, you know, if not for Liam, Sari and Aoi, I would have both the highest and lowest scoring person in the competition. But we will see. Kelly, you are very right. Mania weekend may be very good for Rina. Also may be good for some of the Tokyo Joshi wrestlers on here. Stardom will be in action.
Yeah.
So we will see. A big question, I guess, would be, you know, I have Utami, you have, or you have Utami, I have Saya Kamitani, Liam has Suzu Suzuki. If they left Stardom, where are they going to be wrestling regularly? We'll have to find out. So what is coming up in Joshi? Well, the big thing in Stardom is the upcoming Cinderella Tournament 2024, happening over multiple days, but not as many, if I remember correctly, not as many days as in the last few years. Is that right? Because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. No, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 days.
Yeah, because, yeah, and it's not super long either. It's
5 days. 5 days.
Yeah, because there's some on 316 day. Hell yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin, go sit down, watch him some Cinderella tournament.
Okay, I was going to say that was impressive, and then right at the end, I think you sort of lost it. And it
God
became...
damn, kid, love Unimon.
My
I did
only,
an entire podcast like that once.
The I only was, wrestling impression I do is Tony Khan at a live AEW show. We got a great show for you. It's going to be amazing. Who wants to see Darby Allin? Just a man high on cocaine.
No, years ago on my other podcast, we recorded episode 316. So we all did a Stone Cold Steve Austin impression for the entire episode. It was horrible. I loved every second of it. We even had a guy come on to promote his a fundraiser thing, and did not tell him that we were all going to be talking like Stone Cold Steve Austin throughout the entire interview.
Unfortunately, we'll be missing that for our episode 100 by 2 days. One day. By 1
we
day.
We just got to keep this going until we get to episode 316.
I guess that would take another... what would that take? Another...
just like 8 plus years. Yeah.
We can do it. No problem. Doing a Joshi podcast for almost 15 years. I don't see any problem there. But anyway, the Cinderella tournament, how it's going to break down. So we'll start with March 9th will be the first show. The matches on that show will be Hanako versus Hanan, Yuzuki versus Starlight Kid, Momokogo versus Xena, the recently returned Xena, Ruaka versus Koguma, Sai Ida versus Saki Kashima, Lady C versus Yuna Mizumori. Sorry, I'm reading these sideways. Natsukatora versus Karara, and Rana versus Miyu. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I'm like tilting my head to read the bracket.
How they had Komomo written, I thought it said Kokomo at first, and I'm like, who the fuck's Kokomo?
Kokomo. Wasn't that the name of a monkey?
No, Kokomo's the Beach Boys song.
But I think there was a monkey named Kokomo.
Oh, maybe.
But there is a Beach Boys. That is a Beach Boys song. A wildly reviled Beach Boys song, if I have my Beach Boy history.
I mean, the fucked up part is that Kokomo is just in like Indiana. It's not even like a tropical place.
Remember when they had the Muppets on the song, right? Don't they have the Muppets? Because Miss Piggy starts and she's like, "Oh, Kermit."
That I don't know.
Really? Did I make that up?
Uh-oh. I think you might have. I do not remember there being a Beach Boys Muppets crossover.
Is there a Baron? Is this a Berenstain Bears situation? Yeah, she's like, "Oh, Kermit." Oh, here it is. Wait a minute. All right.
Yeah, I have zero recollection of this.
Hold on. But why do I remember her saying, "Oh, Kermit"? I don't know.
Muppets sing along.
Yeah, I'm sending it to you right
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah, I guess they did something.
Wait, add it. What? Okay, I'm
sending Kokomo
it to
Muppet
you.
Beach Party from Jim Henson Records.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I've never seen this before.
Yep. I will post this on our Twitter so people know what the hell we're talking about. But yeah, they did Kokomo. Yeah.
Huh. Wild.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my memory. I'm not wrong. but anyway, it is not Kokomo. It is Momokogo instead. So moving on from that portion of the show, on the 10th, Mirai will take on the winner of Hanan and Hanako. Suzu Suzuki will take on the Yuzuki Starlight Kid winner. Mei Sierra will take on the winner of Saki Kashima and Saeeda. Ami Sorei will take on the winner of Unimon and Lady C. That is the 10th. On the 16th, wow, figure it, okay. Waka Tsukiyama will take on the winner of Xena and Kokomo. Hazuki will take on the winner of Koguma and Ruaka. Azumi will face off against Natsukatora or Karara. And Mai Sakurai will face off against Miu or Rana. That's the 16th. Then the winner of those matches will go to the 17th of March. And then the semi-finals and finals will happen on March 20th. So, Kelly, I throw it to you. Who's winning this dang thing?
Okay. Firstly, I don't want it to be Suzu, because that would be a bunch of points for Liam. And I don't want that. Okay, so let me look at this. Who do I think is going to be in the finals? I think the semifinals could be on one side of the bracket, Mirai versus Hazuki. That's what's standing out to me for whatever reason. Those names popped up. So I'm going to say Hazuki. Okay, yeah. Hazuki versus Azumi. That's your finals. That's this new era of stardom. We're going Hazuki versus Azumi in the finals. And fuck it, Azumi wins. We're going for it. I'm picking Azumi.
Yeah. I was going to pick Azumi. Although, yeah. Okay, now I'm looking at the Azumi versus... I feel like I should pick like a little freak pick, but... But I don't know who that's going to be. Yeah, because really the right side of the bracket is... I mean, I don't really see anyone except Azumi. Like, Mai Sakurai, I guess, would be the number two where I'd be like, maybe?
Natsukatora is always in the mix.
Not in my mix. And I'm going to go... I'm going to go... Jeez. I'm going to say Starlight Kid.
Okay. That's, yeah, that's another good pick.
And I think Izumi wins. I don't know. Yeah. I don't really like anyone on the not like in that way, but I'm like, would you put Mirai back in the finals?
No. I would go with the Izumi Hazuki finals just because of their history.
And then it could be like, oh, it's a big match, but it's a match you've already done, so you're not like blowing some
exactly
first time match on that. So we'll have to see next time we join. They'll be almost over.
Yeah.
Because the next time we record will be the 17th. So we'll have everything except the semifinals and finals done.
Perfect.
So we will see what else is going on. Seedling has a show on March 15th. Oz has a show on March 10th. Sendai Girls has a show on March 17th where the new tag champions Dash Chizako and Hiroya Matsumoto will defend their recently won tag titles against Ryo Mizunami and Naname. Marvelous is going to be continuing their tag league. Wave has a show on March 17th. Yuki Miyazaki will defend the Regina DeWave title against Yuko Sakurai. And Sakura Hirota will defend her recently won Elizabeth title against Kairi Yonayama and Cherry. And Kelly, what is coming up for Gato Move?
On the 13th, they have the Road to Kuroken Sakura Days show. And the biggest match of note, I think, on that card is Miya Yatsuba versus Mizuki. So that'll be cool to see Mizuki back in a Gato Move ring.
Yeah. The place of origin.
Yeah.
So that will be good. Well, that's everything that's coming up. So next time we see, we'll have a lot of Cinderella tournament action to talk about. Kelly, I throw it to you for your traditional end of the show stuff.
So we all loved Madam Web, right? Tremendous movie.
I didn't see it.
You should have. It was a great time. It is a period piece that takes place in the year 2003. And it feels like a movie that came out in 2003, and I love that for it. It's not great. It's bad. But boy, howdy, did I have a whole lot of fun watching that. Like, that is a movie that I recommend people to see just because it's dumb as hell and fun, and it feels like a movie that came out 20 years ago. So if you would like to remember what it was like back in 2003, go see Madam Web. A simpler time.
I will not reveal how old I was or where I was in 2003. I was really scared off. This is episode 99. The very first episode, you can go back. I introduce myself and I give my age. And the first comment we ever received on the show was, why did you tell people how old you are? And since then, I have never mentioned my age. So you can go back to episode one and hear how old I was and try and figure it out and add it up. That will give it to you. But I was told that podcasters should appear in some manner to be immortal, sort of ageless beings. So,
Shit, I just gave my age earlier in the show.
I will say that is true. You committed the cardinal sin. I will say I was alive in 2003. I will not say how old I was or how young I was, but I do remember 2003. Anyway, and I will never say my age on audio ever again. Sorry. But that's it. That's all we have. And we'll be back in 2 weeks for episode 100. Of Jumping Bomb.
We're going to have
audio.
a 100th episode age reveal.
I mean, just go back to episode one. Actually, go back and listen to every episode we've recorded.
Yeah, there's going to be a test.
Yeah.
We'll give you a quiz on the first episode.
We will see you for episode 100. For Kelly, I am Taylor saying farewell.
Bye, everybody.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.